And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. We have JJ Delaney and Dermot "The Rock" O'Sullivan on the line, lads. So nice to pair the two of you up together.
How are you getting on, Willie? How are things?
10 All-Ireland medals between the two of you there. 7 and 3. I have an All-Ireland minor there, just so. With 3 loads of All-Irelands here on the Hurling Show. No history between the two of you. You're kind of stayed away. You didn't get in around the Rock's domain. It was very important to stay out of a certain kind of area of the field.
Yeah, it's your own fault. If you go in past the 45 in the Cork end of the field, I said, look, it's your own fault for going that far up that field. I'd say, if you went up that field, he'd eye you up. Now, to cross the 65, the Rock would be eyeing you up. So I never ventured up that far that field.
You didn't venture up that far, JJ, but you did deliver the ball in the 2003 All-Ireland Final, where the Rock, I don't know how, Rock, you weren't caught for barging, but you threw, I think it was Eddie Brennan out of the way like a fly, and then DJ Carey tried to stop you as well. You had no hurl. Shefflin was after robbing your hurl, but JJ passed you that ball.
Straight in your hand, Sully boy. Straight in your hand.
Straight in, JJ, somehow.
High ball into the full back line, Sully. There's no better ball to get. High ball in. The higher the better, says you.
Straight down the throat. How was that, Joe? What was that? Sir Value State beating. It was like throwing penis to a monkey, Joe. Just throw him straight down the throat. That's the easiest way to deal with it.
That was borderline charging, though, Rock.
Jesus, just common assault, wasn't it? they went hard on me. Like if there was 3 men attack me in the street like that every day of the week, just they'd see time for that.
So who's the third one that came in? Was it Martin Comerford or John Hine came in then? That finally slowed him down.
John Hine was sorted out. He's coming in to try and sort it out. The other two boys couldn't do it, so Dougal came in then as well. He never backed down for a challenge.
I went to his odd just quietly down Roland Corn, said he'd just come in and have his tuppence worth and clean the bag, kicked it off again. Yeah, just in case.
And come here, would there be much laughing at Eddie Brennan in the dressing room after that match?
You'd be kind of asking, wondering, do you realise how kind of small you are compared to Sully? You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of saying, right, pick your battles merely more than anything. You know, that kind of way. Go over and hit the cornerback or something, but don't stay away from the fullback. Anyway, that's what everyone's saying to him.
Jeez, you know what? He hit enough cornerbacks in his time, boy.
But he came in wrong at you, Dermot, anyway. He kind of came in at you from the side, and you were barging anyway, so, like, I mean, it was all in your favour.
I really don't think he cared at that moment in time. Once the whistle blew, I'd say that man didn't care what happened to him.
Right, come here, lads. The story of the weekend is that Offaly are back, right? Are we getting over carried away? Dublin were, I think they only had 4 players that played against Tip last year, so they were really in experimental mode. But, like, I mean, Michael Dignam was tweeting that he had tears in his eyes. You know, he's an emotional sort of a man. Yeah, he was almost close to tears when Galway won the All-Ireland last year, and so that's fair enough. But, like, I mean, as a neutral and as a fella just looking in from the outside, what a beautiful result for hurling in general.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, like, you know what I mean? And they were well deserved as well. Looking at the first half, only for the goal that Dublin got in the first half, Offaly would have been outside at half time. You know, they were physically the bigger, stronger, fitter team as well. And it's not often you can say that about an Offaly team, that they were actually a fitter team as well. Like, and they were physically imposed themselves on the Dublin team. The Dublin lads had a few kind of small, light, quick forwards, but it didn't suit them on the day because Offaly kind of dropped the man back. But they were hitting hard and they were competing a lot up in their forwards as well. And I like to look at the Offaly full forward line as well. Like, there were a handful of big Conor Mann full forward, handful, but the two guys in the corners are well able to hurl, take their scores as well. So I was well impressed now with Offaly. And whereas, as I said before, you wouldn't say they were always the fittest team, but Saturday they've shown up that they must have a lot of work under their belt as well. And for a new manager to come in, especially their first game up in Croke Park, a win for them guys in Croke Park is absolutely huge, you know. And it doesn't matter who they're playing, but they put in their performance and they won the game for handy enough. And you think about, like, Shane Dooley only came on for the last 10-15 minutes as well. He got the goal from the penalty and a couple of frees, but they were winning well without him as well. So it's a good sign for the whole panel that, yeah, we can compete in this.
Yeah, Offaly are kind of like a team, Rock, that have been left behind in the modern game. And is it fair enough to say that their strength and conditioning, because everyone's commented on it, how fit they looked, how strong they looked. Like, in this day and age, how many managers have they had? Like, surely they have strength and conditioning coaches, or maybe they just weren't committing to the strength and conditioning coaches. It's hard to know, but they definitely do look now a lot leaner and stronger and fitter than they have.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're now starting to look like they are an intercounty team.
Yeah,
it's been a while since Offaly have have had a good result in any shape or form, I suppose. Like, there's two ways I look at it, right? Like, Michael Dignan's tweet, that's all very well and good, but you know what has Michael Dignan done to help Hurling and Offaly over the last number of years? You know, I'd ask him that question for a start. Did he put his shoulder to the wheel himself and older players of a generation and really tried to solve this? Kevin has come in, he's put his hand up. You know, he's, as a player, he was a tough operator, as JJ know. He was probably part of the last real great Offaly team, and you know, for a guy like him, obviously put in the work, he's willing to accept the responsibility and take it on. But if nothing else comes out of this, lads, if there be 100 more young lads in Offaly pick up early and start playing the game after a result that week, isn't that a result in itself? It's a small county with limited numbers. You know, we're all not naive enough to think that, you know, Offaly will be anywhere near the top table. You know, hopefully they'll be toward the latter end of the leagues. They might get a bit of a run for themselves. But look, if it will achieve nothing else, if it'll get 100 lads in Offaly playing hurling this morning, I'd be more than happy, because hurling needs Offaly.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. Talk to us then. The two of you would have played against Kevin Martin when he was coming towards the end of his career. He was a left half back, right? He was, they say teams reflect their manager. So talk to us a little bit about.
Yeah, I think he's after bringing in a confidence to Offaly hurling again. In fairness to him, you know, and I suppose down through the years, like all the other managers would have said, yeah, there is a fitness problem or fitness issue, strength and conditioning issue here, but maybe the rest of the players didn't buy into that management team. But obviously, whatever he said, whatever confidence he's putting in the dressing room, that these guys are putting in extra work, that they are doing lifting the weights, or they're going running themselves, or whatever they're doing. But whatever they're doing is actually particularly working as well. And what, again, go back to, like, Shane Newley, probably the best Offaly forwards there for last, but every other year the team was kind of molded around him, like, you know. And now he's kind of saying, yeah, we'll bring him on for 10-15. Even the Walsh Cup there as well against Kilkenny, they brought him on there for the second half just to see how teams were getting on, and then kick him on. But like, every other year they were building the team around it, but now they're actually saying, right, yeah, we can actually hurl without you. But then again, they have a few younger players coming through there as well, and look, the future is bright. Brighter than what it was this time last year, you know. And they have to take baby steps. No point in going beating Dublin up in Croke Park and then losing their next game as well. So the next game is very, very important for Offaly as well.
Yeah, what about Dublin, Rock? Again, all this needs to be put into the context of the fact that they only had four players who played their last championship game against Tipperary last year, and a lot of the fellas that they had coming back. Pat Gilroy, football man, managing Dublin, hurlers, all these kind of things thrown into the mix. They're trying to play a bit of a defensive game. What's your take on all this?
I suppose, look, you know, Pat Gilroy has stepped up. You know, Joe left the post, or I was relieved of his post recently. In relation to Dublin, there's a good hurling structure and good hurling coaches in Dublin. So if Pat Gilroy, it's like any team, if you can put good structures in place around you, which Pat has experience of, and he's a very, very knowledgeable man, he'll surround himself with the correct people. You know, once he gets to train the tracks, his job is to manage, and he'll delegate. He'll get his strength and conditioning, he'll get his hurling coach, his forwards coach, his defensive coach. He'll put the package together. Okay, he'll oversee it. Will he have a direct, you know, he'll obviously have some kind of input into it, but I'm just assuming that, you know, he's leaving guys to their own devices, these coaches, and preparing the team as best he can.
Yeah, you'd imagine that's it. You know, but you've no problems with being the two hurling snobs that you are. Well, you're an intercounty footballer too, Dermot, so you're not exactly.
Let me correct. I have a Munster senior football medal.
Ah, you're off the bench, though, right? They don't count. So you're only a half a hurling snob. JJ is just a fully fledged. Yeah, although JJ
I'm
tries to
inter forums medal there with Kings fans. So I have.
There you go. Listen, you're pulling all these
hidden depths, by you know that. Ulster football, Sully. You know that.
pulling football medals out of the fire, the two of you are here to really rattle me.
I scrambled for that one, I tell you.
Come here, lads. Tommy Walsh, you have to compliment Air Sport on their coverage. And I know a lot of people talk about being behind a paywall, and JJ, you're a fully fledged Sky pundit here. I think the Sky get the bad press because they're taking games that TV3 would have showed for free. Whereas Air are coming in showing games that we never would have seen before. So Air, none of these league games were being showed by RTE. TG4 had Sunday games, so they're showing new games, yeah. You know. And then they come in and they start showing county finals that were never shown before. So Air don't get any of the bad PR that Sky do, because they're not robbing. If Air came in and took TG4's games, the PR around Air would be similar. You know what I mean? But their coverage is fantastic. Tommy Walsh, I hadn't heard him before. Now, I know he did some work with Off the Ball, but I hadn't heard any of it. But it saw a lot on Twitter about people going, geez, Tommy Walsh should really take you into the heat of the action and stuff. He's like a young Anthony Daly. He's just enthusiastic, tells a few yarns, and just gets carried. He just gets carried away with the beauty of hurling, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just, you look at it. With Tommy Welsh, he absolutely loves hurling. There's no way to describe it. He just loves it. Whether it be an under-14 match with his club, Tullerone, he'd be down in the field. He's training the under-6s there as well. And I heard a story that just for Christmas there, he went round for his under-6 or 8s team. He went down to individual house, gave him a present for Hurley for Christmas there as well. And that's the story I heard. Now, obviously, he would never tell you anything like that, but you'd hear the stories going around. But he just loves it. He's infectious. And look, what the Tommy Welsh you're seeing there on Air Sport there Saturday, that's the Tommy Welsh that we dealt with in the dressing room for the last 10 or 12 years. And that's why lads would follow him into war. Like, you know what I mean? He's just so passionate about the game. And whatever he talks, he just comes straight from the heart as well. Like, you know what I mean? There's no agenda with Tommy, and that what you see is what you get. And he's absolutely brilliant. If you're in the pub talking to him, he'd be exact same as what he was talking about the other day. Now he'd just tell you story after story after story, and they're all absolutely hilarious as well to make on top of it. You know what I mean? He's just a very, very infectious, likable fella, very, very likable fella.
Yeah, he would have broken your heart lots of times, Rock, but he's got likability on his side. I'm not sure he's strong in the analytical side of it, but he likes to tell a few stories and just say how brilliant the whole thing is and all that kind of thing. He almost does punditry a little bit like he played, just wears his heart in his sleeve.
Yeah, but you should know this well, won't you, right? This punditry game, a lot of it is a game of bluff, right? You're in that position for a reason, right? 95% bluff. But the biggest issue in Cork on Saturday night, right, was on the programme. Number 20, Tommy Walsh from Tullerone, was listed amongst the substitutes.
Really?
I tell you, lads, it created some chatter on the ground before the game.
He's not. You're rabbit out of hat. Bring back Tommy.
Is this a mistake or is it another one?
It's another Tommy Welsh there from Tullerone. He was on the under-21s last year. He's a good hurler as well now.
Yeah, he's big shoes to fill now.
He has, with the name now and all in the same place. But no, he's
with a name like that in the same club. Even while the football matches were on, that was the talk of the fucking, was the talk of the
that's a good one.
She's
that's
it.
Never from the that. Rabbit out of hat. Tommy's back.
Come here. I didn't like that little bluffer dig there out of you there, Dermot. But I will tell you, Damien Hayes is cutting down his punditry on the show this year. He says, I think people have had enough of me, he says. I don't have an All-Ireland medal, and all those Galway lads do now, and who am I to be telling them what they're doing right or wrong? And I said, what am I doing, Damien, for the last 5 years?
Making a career out of it.
I said, if winning an All-Ireland, if you can't comment just because you don't have an All-Ireland final, I might as well resign in the morning. I'm absolutely gone. Two more things, as before we get into talking about the matches, is one thing, a pet hate of mine, is Michael Ryan. He took off Joe Dwyer yesterday. Now, he was getting the licking by Cottle Malone, and he was getting right throughout the first half. So, took him off with 30 seconds to go in a televised game. There's no need, in my eyes, to do that to a lad. I think you can take him off at half-time. I think it's embarrassing. I don't think you're gaining anything with 30 seconds to go. I would see, if Ryan thought he was playing badly enough, why did you not take him off before you took him off? If you're going halfway through the half, I can understand that. But the 30 seconds and not give him the dignity of togging in at half time and sneaking back back into the dugout and hoping nobody really notices it, because we all know what it's like.
And you're probably right, because after standing in line for the last 2 years having to be involved in these decisions, right?
Yeah.
He could lose him for the next 6-8 months. He might never again get anything out of him. You know? It's something similar. Brian Lawton was having a poor game for Cork today. There's no point in dressing it up. But Cork identified that after 20 minutes, and they took him out of the game But with 30 seconds to go, you're doing more damage than good. As you said, at least, you know, you can go into the dressing room at half time, you can tag out. You know, Dick was saying, oh, Lamb might have been injured or something. At least he's not walking off with the embarrassment of 30 seconds to go. Okay, he was under pressure. We've all faced that situation. But look, you know, it's toughening him. It is toughening.
Looking at it, yeah, it's very, very hard for a player to be took off like that, because look, with that 30 seconds, are you going to win or lose the game on that 30 seconds? You're not. But maybe
not
maybe in the management side of things, maybe they're looking, right, that's not only a shot at that player coming off, but it's a kind of warning to everyone across the, just on the manager side of things, looking at their point of view. It's a shot across the bow to everyone. It's not just that player. But I agree with Rocky, this confidence now, in the constant hit that you're taking now, especially if you're one of the new players trying to get on the team and something like that happening, and it can very, very easily happen, like, and especially in league games. Well, it can go your way or it can't, but you might be 100% fit, you might be carrying niggles, you might be training hard that week before, then just give a half an hour, like, you know, you'd probably learn more for him coming out in the second half, and maybe switch him over to the other wing or something like that, just move him around. He'd learn a bit more from that rather than just whipping him off. Rather than just whipping him off straight away, you know.
And you're on the line then, Rock, and a lad's not doing well in the first half, and then he gets a ball or two, and he basically survives until the 32nd minute, and then he's taken for a point or two. Like, would the conversations be like, we'll give him till half time, we won't embarrass, you know what I mean? Is that something that you would say, we'll, you know, amongst yourselves, rather than actually, like, you'd be surprised the selector wouldn't say to Michael Ryan there, geez, we'll just look, sure, there's only a minute left, we'll leave him off till half time and we'll bring him in then.
I think every player deserves at least one move, you know. I think every player deserves that, you know. He's put his hand up, he's put himself, you know, he's made himself available to, you know, he's not going out there to play poorly. Look, we've all discussed this before, but things aren't just going his way. Maybe it's not, it might work in the right corner for him, move him to left, just give him an opportunity. As JJ said, there could be fucking something in his mind, you know, geez, I couldn't really tell Michael, I'm happy on the left and the right, and might be just playing his mind. Give him an opportunity, maybe, just to prove himself somewhere else, you know. And then if you have to take it into the dressing room at half time, where you can regroup, you can make the changes, so be it. You know, but 30 seconds, it is a harsh one. It is very, very harsh. Yeah, and it's going quite a common team.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I actually think you could lose the player. Like, I'd say the player would, if I'm saying it now, you see, the two of you might not have had much experience of being taken off before half time. But, like, I mean, it would definitely come through my head, Jesus, give me till half time. You know what I mean?
One example there. We played Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh one day, and Connery Hans on the wing, and he just took me for, he ran round. I was on the wing. But Cody moving back in full back. And after that, then, I was after 15, 20 minutes again, like, very easy, kind of whipped off. But I learned my lesson that day. I kind of said, right, I thought I still had the legs for the wing, but then obviously after that day I learned from that, right, I'm happy enough where I am if I pull back, like, and I'll just stick to my full back position again. I won't be kind of putting my hand up to go out in the wing again.
That was your last game on the wing. Lee Han retired you from wing.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that, Rock, that Lee Han was responsible for the move?
You learn something new every day, don't you?
Yes, you definitely do. Jeez, Lee Han, I suppose if you are watching your legs at all at wing back, Lee Han is not the lad that you want. No, definitely not. Come here, Waterford didn't make any subs, lads. Derek McGrath's full of surprises. Like, I mean, let's just say he doesn't conform to what is the normal,
which is brilliant.
Yeah. And he makes no apologies for it. And he says, I'm not too interested in the league. And he's not. But they're not using any subs, lads, because we all talk now that you give your squad the run out and you motivate your subs by using them. And not only that, you get fresh legs on for the last quarter. All these reasons bring on subs, which is the reason every manager empties their bench now. Maybe with the exception of Cody, who hasn't really kind of come along into emptying his bench. Maybe he doesn't have it.
Conform to society.
Yeah, but geez, lads, not to even make one sub. And he says, our feeling at this stage was that regular fellas, Kevin Moore and Jamie Barron and Pádraig Matheny, could all do with a full 75 or 76 minutes. That was the reasoning behind it. Now, they did pick a very experienced team, but at the same time, is that important that they get 75 or 76 minutes? What about the five or six lads that didn't get any game time, and what kind of negative effects there are for them not getting anything into their legs to what the other lads get in the full 75 minutes?
Yeah, well, probably next week now they'll probably have a completely different team and give them them the whole game then as well. It's kind of complete opposite of what Michael Ryan done. Like you said, they'll probably be Derek McGrath, no matter how bad they're going, or if they're good or bad, or giving them the 70 minutes and that's it, and that's their chance. You can't be, you can do your running all day, every day if you want, but there's no, it's a huge difference between match fitness and just kind of sprinting fitness, because you have a lad dragging out you all the time, you're wrestling for the ball, and that will bring your fitness on unbelievable amount. Now maybe he thought that the four or five players that he named that needed the 70 minutes to come on now, but you, maybe next week now they'll probably play a completely different team and then give them the 70 minutes and send. So to have 2 or 3 weeks into the league, if he said he's not too worried about it, then he's just giving lads chances, giving lads whole games to see, right, see if lads are going to put their hands up or not.
Yeah, it's a weird one, Dermot, though, all the same, isn't it?
Yeah, but see, you know, as you said, Derek doesn't really do things by the book. Maybe he's just putting a mark out to him as well. Look, you really need to look inside the soul here now, and you know, alright, things haven't gone your way, you can keep feeling sorry for yourself. And you know, Wexford were well in charge, well on top of that game, and you know, maybe he just wanted to see what was inside them fellas. You know, can they find a bit of steel or a bit of resolve? Alright, it's only the opening day of the National League, but you know, still find out early in the season whether the fella has a belly for it, and can they do something to claw back and put a bit of respectability on the score, because you know, he had good players out there. Maybe he was just testing them. You know, this is it. It's going to be very, very tough for the year. You know, all Ireland finalists last year. You want to get back up there. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of soul search. Put it, what's gone is gone, and you know, drive on, basically. That's, yeah. I've no doubt he was, you know, he was asking him back. You know, he wanted to see for himself, is there something still inside in these guys? You know, if it comes down to a fight or a last couple of minutes, can they give me something? Or as JJ said, you know, do they change it up and does he go for something completely different next week, which he probably will.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to find out
where his squad is, really, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, they're only back from holidaying bits and pieces recently. That obviously has an effect on it, but JJ, he hit the nail on the head. There's absolutely no substitute for fellas pulling and dragging out there, trying to get your legs out of the heavy ground, trying to win a ball. You know, but a contested ball. There's no substitute. You can train all day long, but there's no substitute for it.
Yeah, exactly. Come here, another one I wanted to talk to you about before we have a chat about the match on Saturday night and a bit about Clare as well, is Galway scraping over Antrim. And they're only back from holidays as well. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, you've obviously got 10 All-Irelands between you. How much kind of trial and error over the years do you land on a system that works of when you go on the holiday, when you don't go on the holiday, when you get back serious training, when you stop parading the cup? Like, ye won more than once, so you obviously realised that worked that year, that didn't work that year. Galway haven't won one since 88, so they're in a situation now where they could still be going to, they could be making all the mistakes that ye would have learned over the years not to make, and who's there to tell them that this isn't the right thing to do? You know, where did, when, like, I would think January's the wrong time to go on a holiday, but I don't know, like, whether when ye went or how did ye work it?
Yeah, we always kind of went over just after Christmas, 26th, 27th, we're on holiday, so you'd be gone for Christmas, over New Year's, and you'd be back then 7th or 8th of January, because they had to do that because of school teachers and all that kind of stuff, so they'd have to be back for school as well, so you have to take jobs and that into consideration as well. But it's probably different for Galway this year, because it's the first time in since 88, is what you said, so I'd say the county went absolutely crazy for the first 3 or 4 months, and you can fall into the trap of chasing the cup around, like, you know, and you can go every night of the week there if you wanted and follow around, but again, it's all dependent on the maturity of the players there as well, and you probably won't know how much celebration they don't until after the year is done, because if you're going down through the year, you think, yeah, I'm flying, I'm good now, I'm same as last year, but you can't be the same as last year. You have to be 10 or 15% better than last year, because 50-50 decisions that you would have got last year, you won't get this year, and teams will always
referees decisions
or bounce of the ball or something like that as well, and other teams then as well will up their game, because you are the All-Ireland champ, you're there to be knocked, and every other team's focus is Galway this year, make no doubt about that, and they will have to deal with them contenders as well and come up and try and take their All-Ireland title away from them as well.
Yeah, what about you, Dermot? You've both retained it, I suppose, so you obviously did hit on the right way to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know JJ hit the nail on the head. Look, you know, we were in similar situations. We at the time we were all days, but I think, you know, you'd always be slow to get back into the first couple of weeks. But I think, you know, we all don't know who's a shrewd operator. All they wanted to do was get last Sunday's fixture out of the way. I don't think he's too worried. He probably always felt they were going to win the game. You know, it was just a matter of what margin they won it by. But I'd say come the next couple of weeks, Galway, their head will be down. They'll get back into business, because, you know, they're, we know what they're capable of. And I think, you know, last Sunday, he'd be delighted. The first game, you know, the cuff's probably put away at this stage. You're back into serious competition. Okay, lads, look, you know, fun time is over, holiday's over. Let's go about our business and see have we got inside us to retain this.
Yeah, that's the thing. I suppose, like, I mean, when you're winning matches, everything's okay. You maybe need to lose a match to say, here, that's the wake-up call you might need the following year or something like that, you know? Like, I mean, because you win by a point, everything's grand. You lose by a point, it's a bloody disaster and everybody's being moved around and everything, and it's just, it's a weird one, the and mentality.
Look, let's be realistic. Yeah, and be realistic, probably. He probably sees it as there's one big game in this we need to win to get out of division, get out of Division 1B. It's probably the Limerick game.
Yeah.
You know, they know they'll have enough probably to win the other games along, so I think he'll be just tuning up the band just to get it right for the Limerick game. And, you know, with the great respects to the other team in division, I think that's the way Micheál will be looking.
Yeah, maybe Micheál has copped on to the fact that Division 1B is the best division to be in. You can sleepwalk into it and then just land in a quarter final and then start hitting the ground then. It's the best one, lads. Get relegated. Maybe that's what Cody's doing this year.
2 year plan.
All right, we'll be back in a second and we'll have a look at the games on telly.
And the game takes on, can very, very often take on a life of its own. What's tactics? I mean, you've got to make decisions and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players and the players play, you know? The game was fast, was furious, it had everything really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is there. And the game takes on, can very, very often take on a life of its own.
Yeah, the big one on Saturday night was obviously Year 2 Counties lads, Cork and Kilkenny, and a brilliant game, really enjoyable game to watch. Loads of scores. Kilkenny scored 15 points in the first half, which I suppose, Dermot, from a defensive point of view, Cork won't be too happy. But when you have the forward line Cork have, and you know, an attacking midfielder like Dara Fitzgibbon, an all rounder like him, you can take teams on in shootouts, and that's the reality for Cork.
I suppose the first point in this, look, there was very, you know, the games were used between Cork and Kilkenny where they're physically demanding, where there's a contest, where it is tough. I don't think that was very evident. You know, I think it was an open game. It suited Cork down to the ground, the field, you know, big wide field. It suited them, plenty of room for them to manoeuvre in and around, you know, below in the park with a wide open space, give younger lads with legs chance to run them. You know, all right, when it did turn into a physical battle, obviously at times Kilkenny won 95% of them exchanges, but I think Cork were just happy to move the ball around with pace, give it to the guys who knew that they knew can run, do the damage, and, you know, but other than that, it was a kind of a case, we'll get 2 points, we'll come back down the field, get 2 points, we'll get a point, you'll get a point. It was just lacking intensity, a lot of intensity. I don't think the game, you know, reached anything near the intensity of Cork and Kilkenny league games previous.
Right, okay. And, like, I mean, where are Cork then this year for the league? Are they looking for new players? Because, like, I mean, you and Kieran Kingston discovered 5 new lads last year. Like, do they need more new faces or do they need just to build on, you know, the 5 new lads from last year will have that year under them to become better players this year? Or do they need a few more tweaks and a few more new lads?
No, look, I think Cork need to keep evolving this thing, you know. You go back to our team, it just became stale, became stagnant, and wasn't changed often enough and quickly enough down through the years, and that's why we fell behind. And I do think John needs to, he definitely needs to add maybe two into the team somewhere, if not 3. So he'll be doing his homework. Look, you take Sean O'Donnell, who did it right for example, played right cornerback, you know, acquitted himself really well, so he'd be happy with that. Young Robbie Flynn, who struggled to make an impact in the under 21 grade last year, reasonably well the other night. So John will be looking. He will be looking because, as you said, ally maybe 1 or 2 more to the 5 faces that were put there last year of similar ilk, and I think Cork will be definitely going the right direction.
Yeah, even with the 5 lads that came on board there last year and had an unbelievable year, second year is very, very hard to get up to the heights that you had the year previous, reason being that people will be targeting these players, that they're the five guys that you're going to have to kind of stop hurling now as well. And Mark Holland was a phenomenal year, absolutely brilliant hurler, like, you know, and he has to kind of go up to his standards again now next this year coming as well. So it's going to be very, very interesting. That's where you need three or four lads more coming in through your league to put these guys under pressure. Don't think that they can just walk onto the team. Once you have, say, 20, 22 players actually vying for the starting 15, that's when you're competitive. That's when you'll keep your starting 15 on your toes there as well. So it's important to, again, for every team possible in the league, if you take it, the league is going to be league basis. This league is all about finding players and getting them right for the league in the championship, for argument's sake. That's what they need to do, because if you're going to play in four or five championship games in 5 weeks, you're going to need the panel of 22 or 23 players as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just that you mentioned O'Flynn there, that pass to Cadogan for the brilliant save by Murphy. That was a brilliant pass, because a lot of forwards will go for a point there, Dermot. But, like, I mean, he seems to have that kind of cockiness about him. Like, that was like a training game you would do something like that in.
I suppose, like, the way I look at it, there's only probably one or two other guys in the game might try that pass. Joe Canning obviously being one.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the McGrath brothers or Bubbles. You know, they're guys who play with that, who always, you know, the peripheral vision, they'll see a guy in a better place and they'll give him a ball. It was a good ball. You know, it was an excellent save at the end of the day, but, you know, just following up on JJ there, right? Nah, Dara Fitz acquitted himself really well the other night. You know, Shane Kingston was a 1-2 or 1-3 from day. He acquitted himself really well. Luke Mead came on. I think he had a serious impact in the game for the 50 minutes he was on the field. You know, when he replaced Brian Lawton, they're three of the guys. But look, you know, it was 2 points. It was 2 points for Cork. That's the way they're going to look at it. So, you know, John will review his game obviously and close the book, and it's done and dusted. But as JJ said, you're going to need, by the end of May, the first week in June, you're going to need 23, 24 fellas you can really trust.
Yeah.
Okay, before each team knew, you know, we 2 or 3 guys there. If we really need them during a championship game, we can throw them in. But injuries, suspensions, whatnot, this could be a hazardous road over a 4 to 5 week period for every intercounty squad.
Yeah, Patrick Horgan wasn't there. I think he's injured, is he? But
apparently it was a suspension from last year.
Oh, that was it. The suspension from the Waterford game. That's exactly it. Yeah, that was in the media. Yeah. But I remember actually we talked on the show last year. It was the very same game, Kilkenny Cork, and it was in Nolan Park, and Horgan was on the bench.
Yeah.
And he had a bit of a face on him, because I remember JJ was at the match and he came down out of the stand, and you were saying, JJ, that he didn't look too happy about it.
Yeah.
Was that a kick up the arse, Dermot, you were giving him to say, listen, we speculated at the time, and we were obviously not involved, but we were like, maybe he's not up to the pitch of the work rate that the Cork management want from their forward line. And the reaction you got from him was great, but what was the thinking behind that?
It was very simple. Look, Patrick Horgan had gone nearly 18, 19 months without a break. You know, between playing hurling with Glen Rovers and intercounty hurling, retaining back-to-back titles in the senior club championship in Cork. He'd been through a hell of a lot over an 18, 19, 20 month period. You know, the signs were there. He was tired. Like, Patrick Horgan is the most gifted hurler I've ever seen. You know, talent-wise, touch-wise, he has everything. But you could see it. He was gone rusty. He was gone very, very stale. And I think we had to remove him out of the equation for a while, give him a break, and, you know, leave him reset himself and refocus. And, you know, to be fair, I think he, you know, we really, really got the maximum out of him after that.
Yeah, definitely.
We saw the best. We saw the best of Patrick Horgan. But, you know, JJ is right. He sulk. Like, Patrick felt, oh, he should not be taken out of this Cork team.
Yeah.
You know, like all of us would have been. You know, there's no way I should be taken out of this Cork team. And, you know, I'm Patrick Horgan. I'm Cork's all-time top scorer in the championship. You know, how dare you? But yeah. Huggy's a great guy. When, you know, he knew at the end of the day while we were doing it. But yes, he's proud enough that he didn't want his place. You know, he didn't want to lose his place, because he could see the potential and the bit of talent coming, and maybe he felt a bit under pressure as well.
Yeah, yeah, okay, and you definitely got the reaction from him. I want to talk about Kilkenny here, JJ, because, like, I mean, is this an indication of where Kilkenny are now? Is that Brian Cody will have been very happy with that performance, and they lost. Like, I mean, that's not the reality that we're used to from Kilkenny, because like Brian Cody didn't even seem annoyed in his interview after it. He seemed upbeat, which was, it's not very like Brian Cody after losing to Cork.
No, but I suppose like, again with the league, you can judge from week to week. We're very reactive now in league wins, and league, whoever loses then we're all down about it. But I suppose you're trying a few new players there as well, and come championship now they'll probably have a different team. Like TJ will start, Richie Hogan, these guys back, Paul Murphy, Colin Finley, get all these back on the team, which will help.
You see, Murphy's away though, isn't he?
He is, yeah, but he'll be back then for the championship, you know, like, anyway, that's what your focus is going to be on. And and before that there'll be huge opportunities for the guys there as well. Paddy Deegan done well in the corner as well, and a few lads kind of put up their hand, like, you know, and that's what he's going to have to do now. But what I did was impressed was, and I think what kind of made Brian very, very happy was that the forwards were hunting in packs, and they were chasing, hitting hard, and they were turning over the Cork backs as well, and they're keeping them on their toes and keeping them honest really more than that, and which is, that's what his mantra is, like, you know what I mean. It doesn't care if you score 2 or 3 points, it doesn't make a difference once you work hard for the team and knock back the backs on their back foot, and which I thought they'd done for most of the game, and they're trying to be as physical as they can. And then if you'd like to Killian Buckley now, he had a fantastic game before he went off injured there as well, 3 points from wing back, and you have that mix of players there as well, and TJ came on and made a bit of a difference, but Walter kind of stood up to the mark there as well. So the older guys like TJ, Parig, Killian, these guys are going to have a huge year now for Kenny as well, like, you know, because you can't, for a young lad coming into that team, you'll need them to break even now more than that, like, you know what I mean, because, and then you need the older lads to come in and row in behind them and drive them on, like, you know. So it's going to be an interesting year for Kilkenny. It's everyone now in Kilkenny is optimistic about of what's going to happen as well. But again, come Sunday now, it's another huge game against Clare.
I know the Ling wing forward, he's just a young lad, he's not long out of under 21. What about the Ling centre back, who's he?
Joling, yeah, no, he was around the panel there for the last 4 or 5 years,
right,
he started against Waterford there last year, and he had a fantastic game wing back there as well.
Is he a solution for centre half back?
He will be, I'd say, yeah. Look, come from left there. I know, look, Conor Leanne got a couple of points from playoff him all right now, but look, as he's going to do, I don't think any centre back will keep him scores as well as hitting your own ball yourself. I think he could be a solution, all right, yeah. And then you'd have Killian on the wing there as well, who's able to sweep in behind him as well as bomb forward as well. So yeah, I think he looked comfortable enough there, in fairness to him.
Is the fear factor from Kilkenny officially gone, Dermot? Like, you know, almost having teams beaten before they start.
The respect will always be there. Okay, the respect and that, because you know Kilkenny they've dominated the game, right? They've dominated the game. Okay, fellas see an opportunity, you know, they see a game of hope, there's an opportunity for other teams coming through, but you know, the fear factor would always be there, that, you know, there's some counties will always, you know, say it's Kilkenny this week, you know, other counties might have a different, oh, it's Tipperary this week, you know, that fear factor would always be there for certain counties. I don't think, and you know, this isn't being bullish, but I don't think Cork, we'd have ever feared Kilkenny, we'd have always respected them and willing to pit ourselves against them, see, you know, put ourselves up there and see if we were good enough. But look, JJ said it. Okay, there was quality missing out of the team tonight, but I thought at times, you know, Tarek Welsh and Paddy Deegan, they were excellent in the full back team. You know, they were really solid. Joe Ling, he spoke about him there. Okay, Conor Leahan, if you're willing to leave Conor Leahan, get 2 or 3 points, that it's going to happen. It's going to happen in every game. He'll use his pace, but you know, Richie really thought was, you know, arguably their best forward. Worked really, really hard at 11. Got some wonderful scores. All not lost, unfortunately, you know. All not lost. Okay, Cork won by 3 points, but people were still talking, look, this place to come back into Kilkenny, to defend these, you know, Owen Murphy, there's good players to come back in. So Brian will be happy. You know, there was even a stage there where Frank Murphy went up and shook his hand with 5 minutes to go and did a big smile and a chat. And was he saying to Brian, look, the envelope's above in the office, thanks for the 2 points for the office, the party keep or something. But, you know, you know, people aren't naive or stupid enough to think that, you know, Kilkenny, there's a demise in Kilkenny and it's going to collapse, because that ain't going to happen.
Two things here, lads, before let's two of you go. I'm going to give one to you, Rock, and one to you, JJ. First to you, Rock. Owen Cadogan at full back. How much of an addition is he going to be to the Cork team?
Owen was solid without being spectacular. He did okay. still, well, if I had my choosing, I'd still play Damien in there. I could see maybe one being maybe better at centre back, stroke wing back. But look, himself and Walter cancelled each other out for long periods of the game until Brian took Walter out of the square and in around the half hour line, where he became really, really effective. Cork struggled to deal with him, his power and his pace, you know, for the last 25 minutes of the game. But Warren acquitted himself well, a long time out of the game, obviously. When the ball, you know, when the saddle get drier and the ball speed up, you know, I'd be just a small bit worried. Maybe will his hurling be good enough to survive inside there? Would he be a better serve maybe further out the field? Could I see him maybe at six? I could probably definitely see him at six or seven. You know, anywhere in the halfback, then really more so than in the fullback position.
Right. I always thought,
but he is an addition.
When Owen Cadogan came onto the scene, I always thought he was trying to model his game on you. He tried to be the enforcer in there, hitting lads at fullback. I don't know if anyone ever said it to Rock when he started that he was like that. Maybe when he was coming up through the ranks, he used to look up to you or anything like that. Did any ever notice he used to play a bit like, try to be seen like he was playing like the Rock? No. That's just
possibly,
me.
Possibly, but yeah. But I suppose what he failed to recognise is the game was starting to change at that stage. You know, the way forward moving, the way fellas were switching, you know, the rotations, the game has started to change, and maybe he just got bogged down a small bit in the whole idea of it and take man first, ball after, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But look, he had a good start, and obviously he attracted to the other game for a while, but look, he's back, and you know, he's a welcome addition into the squad. I've no doubt, agree with his experience.
The other game is that
that's
great.
Well, like, put.
That's just hurling snobbery at its finest. Okay, the other one to you, JJ. TJ Reid chose to go over the bar late in the game, and it was at a really important point in the game. And it was like completely not the Kilkenny way. Surely that's buried into the, or yeah, you're going for goal. Because like that was not far off what penalties are like now, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but just there was four or five Cork lads and they were expecting it as well. Like, you know what I mean? I think he thought he had enough time, especially with Killian Buckley's injured there as well. There were another 6 or 7 minutes there after the 70 minutes were up. Like, you know, I say he thought, take the point here now, we'll get the ball back up the field and we'll have another chance at it. But yeah, look, if you were to ask the one lad to do it, it would be TJ. But I think just there was too many Cork backs on the line for it to go in. It wouldn't have to be a mistake from one of the Cork lads for the ball to go in, like.
Yeah, right, okay, right.
And you could actually see McDempsey going in and telling them, look, put the ball over the bar, you know, so they felt obviously there was enough time, so I don't think it was a decision TJ made on his own.
Ah, okay, so I didn't see that on the TV, that Dempsey went in and, yeah, and told him what to do.
A Leashman going in and telling him what to do, but, you know that?
Yeah, what would a Leashman know about her?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Right, we've ran out of time, lads, to talk about Tipperary, but they were in experimental mode as well. And I don't think Michael Ryan is a little bit like Derek McGrath. I don't think he's going to lose too much sleep about the league this year, so there's not a huge amount. Maybe Cathal Barrett in midfield, yeah, JJ. Yeah. What did you make of that one?
Cathal Barrett and Ronan Marr in midfield. Like, I suppose trying to mix it up a bit and get players more comfortable in different positions as well. And I suppose one criticism of Tipperary last year was that you knew they're starting 15 and see the Bonner Mara was starting corner forward there
that
as well.
That didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't work, but it's something that they could use there again later on in the year, and they might free up maybe Bubba centre forward, maybe, or even John McGrath maybe centre forward too. Like, you know, if they want to play the way like Conor Leal does, go deep and get the ball and he can punish it from there. Like, so it's interesting to see what way they're going to work. But I don't think they won't be devastated going back to Tipperary, right? They'll have another game under the belt now and the real focus for next week.
Yeah, what about you, Rock? Barrett, Ronan Marr. I thought Tomás Hamill battled well with Duggan, maybe a fullback. He likes a big man to wrestle with. Bonner Marr for me didn't work it in the corner. What do you think?
Look, I suppose again, right, Senator Derek, as you said, look, they're kind of in experimental mode. You know, Michael needs to do something different and get different out of his players this year. But look, you know, the goal for the Glasnevin, there was only two scores in the game up to the 74 minutes. So look, he won't be too pushed. Okay, it's you know, they were thereabouts.
Yeah.
He knows his bigger fish to fry. You know, bigger games that he really needs to get his best 15, what he perceives to be his best 15, and have options, because when we, you know, it was quite easy. They never adapted after winning all Ireland. They continued to play the same type of system, same players in the same positions, and I think that really gave us, you know, great opportunity in the first round of the Munster Championship last year. He didn't switch it up enough. He didn't rotate enough, and you know, it was easy to read.
Right, yeah, you could completely forward plan on what you're going to do. That's it. But then again, you're getting back to the conversation we had at the start of the show of being loyal to lads that won the All-Ireland for you the year before. They had coming off loads of All-Stars. Eight of the team get All-Stars. So, like, do you really drop these lads that have gone to battle for you? Yeah. You nearly have to. Like, whether you want to or not, you have to be the Jim Gavin that's like, you've a bad game and you're gone.
Yeah,
because
you have to read a situation really more than anything. You know,
like other teams are reading this team.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I mean, I suppose it's not easy. Like I said, the two of you obviously retained it. So you copped onto something. Right. We didn't mention anything about Clare because we have David Reedy coming up after the break.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
All right, lads, performance of the weekend here now, and there's loads of performances. Obviously, Offaly are the story of the weekend. Kevin Martin, asked him to come on the show. He was too busy today. Really looking forward to talking to him about the huge changes that everybody can see in Offaly. David Dunn got 2-2 against Waterford. He's been around last year. I was trying to read up a bit about him, that he was thought maybe he might have been new teenage sensation that's just out of nowhere. He was brilliant. Conor Lehan was given man of the match the other night on the TV. He was really good. I thought Dara Fitzgibbon was outstanding. He's just an unbelievable. Just a quick one on Dara Fitzgibbon, Rock, because he is so good. Were you in Cork waiting for this lad to come up like he was a huge prospect? Because he wasn't really known nationally until we saw him last year, but he's so good.
Yeah, but I suppose, yeah, we knew this guy had ability, but Dara was very lead, very gangly. So we brought him in 12 months previous, and he started on a strength and conditioning development programme, which we ran with a number of them guys, Luke Mead, Shane Kingston, Mark Holman, obviously were three other guys in that same program. We'd run a development squad in conjunction with the senior squad. We'd 9-10 fellas earmarked for it. You know, there's a couple of them still in around the pan. Obviously, 4 or 5 of them have progressed to the senior team. But, you know, he'd come through the Rebel Oak academies, and he had promise and potential, but look, you know, he needed to get a bit stronger. He needed a bit of meat in him, as the man would say. So look, we took him away and we did that with him.
Yeah, Jesus, definitely worked out, because Gangley has turned into being powerful in speed. Yeah. And like, I mean,
oh, he's powerful, lads. He's powerful, yeah.
He's got loads of hurling as well. Cathal Malone, lads, I thought was outstanding. Obviously, he gave Joe Dwyer the licking that, you know, probably should have been put out of his misery, how many times have we all played in the backs and you switch the corners or you switch the wing backs? You know, that seemed to be an easier thing to do. But he reminds me, he's an old dog. He's a kind of a run of him. I don't know, does winter hurling suit him, and maybe he mightn't be as good in the summer? Or do Clare just need an old dog in that forward line because there's so much kind of ability and hurling in it, that it's finding that balance is what Clare need to do?
Yeah, it is. I think you nearly had it. Balance is what they need. They have small light forwards, but they physically can't win their own ball. So the likes of Peter Duggan and Malone as well, they need these guys. John Conlon, he's only allowed to win the ball for the last few years on his own, and it hit the other five forwards. They weren't going to win the ball in the year. So look, they have options now as well, and they have two or three target men in there now as well, so they can actually vary up the game, so you don't have to go short all the time. You can actually go in long to edge of the square or out to the wing as well, so they have options, is what you want.
Yeah, no, there's loads of options. Right, so the winner of performance of the weekend is David Reedy. He scored 1-7 or 1-8, I'm not too sure. I've read different reports, so David Reedy's on the line now. Was it 1-7 or 1-8, David?
I think it was 1-8. Good few frees there, but I think I got 1-2 from play, so I wasn't. It was a kind of overall happy display on a personal point of view as well.
Yeah, no, it's nice for you to admit that it's a nice performance personally, because you know the easy thing to say is it's all about the win and everything. But like, I mean, performing really well like that, especially in a position which you haven't been playing in the last couple of years, must be a nice feeling.
Yeah, I suppose kind of we'll say since the Limerick game in the Munster League, we kind of looked at different options. I suppose the way the game is developing as well, there's every player end up in any position, and you kind of seen that throughout the game at the weekend against Tip. I was near wing forward, and I was wing forward, and I went out to midfield for a while, and it was even in the full forward line. Probably due to a bit of laziness after taking a close in free, that I was just going inside, let someone else do the hard work and back, back out.
So, Kamir, where are you most comfortable then? Because we know Davey converted you into a midfielder, and you had been a forward up until then, kind of all over the place in the forwards, really. Where are you at home?
Again, that's probably a tricky enough question. I suppose I start off corner forward.
Yeah.
Went out into midfield then, and I suppose this kind of freedom you have out the field, more so than inside the full forward line, it's kind of, it's desirable, kind of. You can get on the loud breaking ball, and you kind of have the freedom of the park in to a certain degree. So I suppose kind of out the field, I probably prefer playing myself.
Right, and it was interesting that Davey converted you to midfield. You'd never even played midfield for your club before that, so that's a complete culture shock.
Yeah, again, it kind of was during the Munster League or the Waterford Crystal Ball, which it was. That I suppose I kind of moved out the field. He obviously seen something in me that he said he'll give it a go, that to try me out the field and see how things went. And I suppose from them or Munster League games, to kind of come new into the panel, kind of they're important, and that's kind of where it kind of took off my kind of out the field career.
Yeah, but do you think it's improved you as a player then, that experience midfield? Because it's almost like now wing forward is the middle ground between the midfield and the full forward line, so you still have that forwards instinct, but also you have that appetite for work that you would have learned out around the midfield as well.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose kind of, so like during the last year or two, even 3 years, you can see from any of the top sides that their players are not sticking to one position. You could even see that against Tip. Cahill Barrett was the corner forward, and he was out in the field against us. So that's the way it kind of works these days. That you just have to put in the work. Like any strong working team or individual should love kind of the freedom they have, and the kind of freedom that the managers give us at the moment, that we can just end up in any position at all.
Yeah, is this another thing, and this is coming from me when I was playing, being a versatile player, and I used to love the fact that I was versatile in one way, because every new position was new and it was exciting and I really enjoyed the challenge of it. But in another way, when I look back at my career, I'm kind of thinking, geez, if I had stuck at one position, I could have made it my own more. You know, like, I mean, are you at a stage in your career now where you'd like to be seen as a wing forward and kind of, you know, make that position your own?
Yeah, I suppose kind of being so versatile, it has its definitely has its benefits, but there's just probably small few drawbacks that you can kind of be thrown anywhere.
But
at this moment, I suppose I'm only 24 still. That it's kind of time enough now to nail down a position and stick with it.
That's the thing.
That's what we're kind of looking to during this league campaign, especially the way that the championship format is now. And a full panel of players will be used compared to other years when there was only maybe 21 or 22 players used in the championship panel.
Yeah, maybe that. And like, I mean, it's not just you. I think this is kind of nearly the Clare team. There's so many chopping and changing of positions that it's not just your position. I'd say a lot of other players are trying to think, geez, I really just want to nail, maybe Clare have more of a settled team.
Yeah, I suppose with a couple of retirements, and then we'll say we have a few long-term injuries as well. It gives opportunities to other lads to go in and nail down. When we're given a chance, we have to just go and take it and kind of grasp it with two hands. That's the most important. Like, the competition within the squad at the moment, it's massive. And it's the hardest thing, London says, to nail down a position at this time in the squad.
Yeah. The talk about Clare this year is that they're going for a bigger team. They're going for, you know, Duggan's in there in the edge of the square. You've Cathal Malone at wing forward. You're not one of those bigger players. So, like, are the smaller players on the panel looking around at each other going, one of us is going, like, are we're feeling a little bit of pressure here?
I wouldn't say so, no. Like, that might be that, like we kind of just find things in the Munster League, and there's no excuse for with the so-called smaller players not to be able to win their own ball.
Right.
Even if it's not a straight out field or first possession clean catch or something, there's no reason why we can't bring it to the ground, and that's where we should be thriving. Like, so, like it's a combination of both. You need a mixture of both kind of as well. Like, so no, I probably wouldn't agree so much that we're just going for a bigger team.
Right. Okay. So that maybe that's just the talk outside the camp then, rather than what's going on inside. Because, like, I mean, I suppose finding the balance between having, yeah, for example, against Tipperary last year, obviously when Duggan came on wing forward, he gave you an extra dimension there to be able to win puck outs, for example. Whereas you wouldn't be necessarily known for that because you might not have had that kind of physicality or that big kind of player in those positions.
Yeah, I suppose last year kind of Peter was in the form of his life. He was coming into that game and he was very unfortunate not to get the start. And when he did get brought on in the first half, he changed the game completely. It was something that we needed at that moment in time. But again, it kind of just didn't go for other lads. They were kind of unfortunate. Kind of few balls popped into their hand and fumbled it, and then the Tipperary lads came away with clean possession. If it was another day, if they held onto that ball, it could have been a different game. I suppose the fact that we do only have two home games, we kind of did target our first game against Tip. It was nearly a must-win game because of the advantage that the home venue gives the team. I suppose Cusa Park, it's a nice open pitch, but then the stands are in on top of it as well. So the support that we got last on the weekend, it was unbelievable. That drove us on, and we kind of, when we did a few hooks and blocks and a few nice scores, that gave a lift to the crowd as well, and it got the whole place buzzing. I suppose it's important to look down to the future as well, like down into the middle of the summer. Like, there's home games in the championship as well.
Yeah.
And it's important to create that kind of fortress during the league to bring that into the championship sides.
Yeah, that's interesting that that's even part of the discussion now, because it wouldn't have been in years gone by, because you never would have had a home game in the championship in Cusack Park. Now you know you're going to have at least two home games in Cusack Park in the championship. So the fortress thing has a much bigger significance now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Realistically, it's championship that we'd be looking for. Looking down ahead of, and that's when we need to get, like, it's the work race as well that kind of sets that team, and you could see that in abundance. Even when lads were running over balls the weekend, they kept tracking, getting hooks and blocks in. And I suppose the one player that stands out in my head from Sunday was, I think it was on between the 64th and 70th minutes, when Conor Cleary made two savage blocks. And that kind of lifted the whole team as a whole. I think the game was leveling at that stage. Maybe we could have been a point up, but give the whole team a lift, and then that resulted in giving the crowd a lift, and we end up winning the ball and going down the scoring.
Yeah, because you are a team that reacts to that kind of crowd when they get involved. It gives you that lift. I know it happens with every team, but for some reason in my head, you kind of, you know, maybe get a bigger lift than others.
I wouldn't even say so much the crowd, but it does affect us a small bit. But the other players around the pitch, it's like it gives a new lease of life, kind of.
Yeah.
That was going to 17 minutes, and just two simple blocks. That work rate created them two blocks. Like, that gave the whole team a lift and kind of drove on for the last 5 minutes of the game, and which was kind of maybe the last couple of years that we haven't really been going too strong, which was the last 5 minutes.
Right, okay. Talk to me a bit about the league, because that was actually an important win for you. Tipperary, I think it was, did won four of the last five, and I think it was important for Clare just to maybe lay down a marker and say that's enough is enough. And then you look at other teams like Tipperary and Waterford, who are almost on record as saying we're not too concerned about the league. Is it a little bit of a weird dynamic going into a league where some managers aren't too fussed about it, but you might be taking it that little bit more seriously?
Division 1A, I suppose, is it's a competitive division. Like, I think, like, we won't get carried away with the win. It was important, but it's only a win at the end of the day. It's only 2 points on the board. You could even see last year that I think we end up with 4 points. We end up with two wins, and we were still in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
So I really we have to knuckle down, get the recovery right, and prepare for Kilkenny in Holland Park next Sunday. And that's probably the most important thing. Like, there's no team are going out wanting to lose again. So keep the heads down. Recovery right, and then we look forward to the next game.
We were
suppose the way the championship structure as well this year, the league will prove it's massive, because if even for players, like, they know how to get their bodies right for the championship game the following weekend.
Right, okay, so it's almost like a dry run into what the championship's going to be, because that's what we were talking on the podcast last Thursday when we were previewing the league, and we were wondering, is the league going to turn into almost like a warm-up competition, because it's you take a break for the clubs then, and then you're back into another league, which the second league is more important because it's obviously part of the championship, but you can actually use the league as how you recover the body and how you do the right things so that you're perfect for the following week.
Exactly, it's kind of like a gauge.
Yeah,
we do know, like, intensity is going to be it's going to be up, and physicality is going to be up during the championship. But to get the bodies right for the league, it's going to give us we'll have a few certain different ideas week on week, for recovery wise, and kind of every player is individual. The same system of recovery isn't going to work as good with everyone. So, like, these couple of games, we'll know what recovery works for ourselves, and we'll be able to bring that into the championship format then.
Yeah, geez, that's really interesting. And I suppose you'll try a few different things as the weeks go on, you know, maybe straight after the game the next morning, whatever you think works for you personally or as a team?
Personally, yeah. Definitely I go personally, because, as I said, it's not same type of recovery isn't going to work for everyone.
Yeah,
some lads will feel better and some lads won't feel as good for certain recovery, like going to the sea or something like that.
Yeah, well, you're in college anyway, so you'll be a professional for the whole summer. You'll be doing nothing, so you'll be able to put the feet up.
Hopefully, no. I might have a job in history. That's
okay. you'll pawn off the job until September, maybe some sort of. So don't get into the workforce until the hurling's over. Come here, just one other interesting thing I read about you this morning when I knew you were coming onto the show is that when you moved out from corner forward to midfield, you shortened your hurley. So you used a 33-inch hurl, and then when you went out around midfield, you used a 32-inch hurl because it's so frantic and so crowded out there that you thought the extra inch might help you from being hooked. Is that right?
But I'm going back to the 33 now.
Right.
The reason I'm going back to the 33 is I find it a better strike. Just that bit of extra weight in the early as well. I got a strike, so I'm out the field a bit further, so I'm shooting further from goal as well. So I'm back to the 33 here today.
Right. And did the 32 work for you then? When you went, was it about being hooked or was it about getting the strike? Sorry, because I'm obviously not a hurling man. I don't really. I'm confused as to why the inch less would work.
No, I to be honest, I've kind of seen a couple of 32s that I liked, and I picked them up my hand and it felt excellent. Then it just happened to be the same time I did go out into the middle of the field. It was kind of more of a coincidence than anything, I suppose.
Ah, okay.
More than anything.
Right, so you're back with the 33-inch now again.
Back with the 33, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Tarfie's playing great.
And come here, would you analyse your own game a lot like that, as in, right, I need a new hurl, right, you know, I'm not hitting the freeze that well, and, you know, constantly trying to think of ways to improve, or was this just somebody handed you a hurl and it felt good?
No, I kind of, you always have to look at yourself first and then the team performance. But I'd be very picky with hurlies anyways, so if I don't like one, I'll put it down and I probably won't pick it up again for a long, long time anyways.
Right, okay.
You have to be continuously looking at yourself and looking how to improve. And it's only a small few percentages that'll make a massive difference as well in the end of the day.
Yeah, no, exactly. The little things make a difference. Finally, before I let you go, you didn't start on the frees. You scored 1-2 from play, then you got 6 frees. Were you surprised it was moved over to you? Because Duggan, I think Peter Duggan missed a couple of long range ones. It was fairly rootless for you to be moved onto them then. Not by you, obviously.
No, Peter's a fantastic free taker, but that you get these days like that that you're just not comfortable or there's something not right with you. And Peter says to me that for me to hit the next one, and I kind of got lucky. I hit, I think, a couple of close in ones. They were right in front of the wall, like that. They were non-missable. But it was kind of Peter that just wasn't feeling right, like, and every free taker had them there as well. But that's the only way I kind of went.
Ah, okay, that's interesting, because I saw a tweet from Colin Ryan, obviously an ex-teammate of yours, and he said Peter Duggan taken off the frees after missing two, absolutely baffling if he's going to be a championship free taker, and he went hashtag confidence. But this was a decision Peter made himself between you and him.
Peter did say it to me. I suppose myself and Peter, like, we're both in LIT as well, and again he was hitting them for the Fitzgibbon as well, and we kind of have that understanding that it's only another wink that it takes for vice versa to switch over. But Peter said it to me, he just wasn't, I don't know, something up, or he just said to hit the next one.
Alright, okay, that's definitely cleared it up, because I suppose maybe Colin Ryan was thinking that it was a management's decision, which would have been rootless enough after two long range ones. But if you know each other so well, then leave it between yourselves. You're both really good free takers.
That's the thing, like, kind of we've been around each other for so long between county and in college, we've kind of gone a week or not, that all it takes, and it's half many times the other way around as well, so you know if you're...
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, listen, come here, I'll let you go and let you do some recovery. I know that you're probably heading off to some ice baths and you have your routine, or maybe you're going to some classes or whatever it is. But listen, thanks very much for taking the call, and congratulations. You're the first winner of Performance of the Weekend on the podcast this year.
Perfect. Cheers, Colin. Thank you.
Great stuff from David Reedy there. All right, that's all we have time for. Hopefully we'll be back on Thursday. We're having some logistical issues, but hopefully we'll have a preview podcast for you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, cause I won't see you later, but not a lot of talking.